Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version, if you don't mind. Just reads a little cleaner in today's climate. Let that sound play, resonate. That's Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to be reading Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 27. And then I'm going to read, I'm going to skip over to verses 30 to 32. Amen. I'm going to go right on in for the sake of time. The Bible says, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening. Wow. The hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. And they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. That's not how you learn. That's not what you were taught when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Don't let him win. I'm skipping over to verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness. I'm talking to you right now. I'm talking to you. Get rid of the rage, the anger, the brawling, the slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. The heart can block our connection and commitments with people and God. The heart can block our connection and commitment with people and God. But if we change our heart by using one simple rule, we'll put an end to broken agreements. We'll put an end to broken covenants. We'll put an end to broken contracts. Today I want to talk to you about, why does agreements that involve Christians never last? Why does agreements that involves Christians, it never last? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we just thank you. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to worship you in this tent. Hallelujah. Lord, you have not just given us a building, but you have given us a world, a whole world. Lord, and we're going to take it for you, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we are truly a church without walls, but that's because we don't need them. You said that our gifts will make room for us. And God, you have really made us the gifted. God, you have a word for your people today. Lord, will you use me? Hide me behind your cross, oh God. Cleanse this vessel. Do what you want to do. Hallelujah. For your people. Lord, for those who come in here, God, with a heart of anger, a heart that is all over the place, oh God, have your way in this room, in this space, on this, in this earth, in the name of Jesus, God. Have your way, and we will be sure to give you the glory at all. And it's in Jesus' name we pray that everybody's. Amen. 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 Turn me down just a little bit, just a little bit. Turn me down. I'm naturally loud. That's perfect. That's perfect. Last week, we talked about a message called the agreement. The agreement, right? The agreement is that it's a godly principle. It's a holy principle, an agreement. That we understand that an agreement cannot be established without two or more people. That's how an agreement is taking place. You need two or more. I love it because in the Bible, God shows us an example of this right away in Genesis while God is creating the heavens and the earth. I love it. Elohim. It's God in the plural tense. It's amazing because God in and of himself is already in an agreement. He's the Godhead. Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. And we don't see evidence of this while he's creating the entire universe until he creates man. He gives us an intimate glimpse of who he is. That's the thing about our God. He'll show you who he is if you just invite him in. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And he gives us this intimate glimpse of who he is. He messed up and said it in verse 26 in Genesis chapter 1. It says, let us. Hallelujah. Make man in our own image, in our own likeness. An agreement that he establishes and he creates man. And it's beautiful because when he creates man in chapter 2, he says, oh, whoa, hold on. This ain't good. Come on. This ain't good because he's all one. He's alone. He's by himself. He's all one. That's not good. Nothing can be established when you're alone. Because in order for an agreement to be established, there need to be two or more. Hallelujah. And so he makes a woman. Come on, somebody. Nothing could be established until that woman was made. Hallelujah. I wish I had somebody in the house. It takes two to make a thing go right. Oh, that's how I get y'all. I got a joke, y'all, this morning. Hallelujah. It takes two to make it out of sight, right? And I got some laughs here. And it's amazing because, again, until a thing becomes established, it takes two or more in an agreement. Right, and an agreement can be established in so many ways. I love it when they're doing the bid, the 10, the 10, 50, 15, 20, 25, 25, 30, 30, 30, 35, and as you're bidding, these are gestures of agreement. Agreement could be an amen. Agreement can be a high five. It can be verbal or nonverbal. It can be a touch. But the bottom line is, an agreement can be established whether it is verbally or non-verbally. Today we see this with the signature. If I'm trying to get a contract with you, I can't just shake your hand because you might lie. I need to have you sign that. An agreement cannot be established unless it's two or more witnesses. Right? Unless it's two or more in an agreement. That's right. That marriage is falling apart because y'all don't agree. There's no agreement. How can two walk together unless there is an agreement? Right? You're applying for those loans. Shucks, I need a loan. Right? You're applying for those loans, but the bank won't have an agreement with you because you haven't been faithful over your few things. They pulled your credit report and they pulled your credit report and they trying to, no deal. Because we got to be faithful over it. They need to see the line of credit. What have you done? Before I'm going to give you much, you got to be faithful over the few. Hallelujah. Come on. We trying to get a deal with the Lord. Lord, I need an agreement with you. You told me anything I asked in your name, you was going to give it to me. But how many of us know from last week If we're going to have an agreement with the Lord, if I yield my presence, he will take my presence and give it purpose. Come on, somebody. Oh, man, I had somebody from last week in here. Listen, you got to first, if you want something for the Lord, because he will give it to you, you got to first, number one, give it to the Lord. It's got to be about the Lord. And then you got to find somebody you can touch and agree with. Did you hear what I just said? If you want something to be established from the Lord, he'll give you whatever you ask. But it's got to be about him. You got to give it to him and find somebody you can touch and agree. Come on now. Whatever you loose on earth is in loose in heaven. And whatever you bound on earth is bound in heaven. Come on, somebody. Oh, God. And I just feel the spirit right now. Stand up, TK. I want to loose something. His son has been under attack physically. If you would reach your hands to TK right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We are believing that God will heal your son TK in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I touch and agree with you, and I am excited with the report of the Lord. Lord, we send your word to TK right now. Healing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, shut up. I'm so excited because that's all you have to do to get God's attention. Give it to God. If you want him to do something for you, give it to him. Come on, somebody. You want to be married and you want to have these things. Give it to God. Make it about God. And touch and agree. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. But we know in any agreement, there's going to be threats. There's going to be a breach lurking to try to break up that contract, that agreement. And like any breach, right, a breach is an infraction or a violation of that agreement, of that covenant, of that law. And it's set to try to break your agreement. Look, I just signed this agreement. Right. And they out here trying to get me kicked out already. Right. Look, I just got married. Right. And they wouldn't even give me that kind of attention before I was married. What was you before I got married? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about them. What was you? Coming out the woodwork trying to break up my agreement. Trying to break up my contract. Trying to break up my covenant. And this is what's going on. When you have established an agreement, you're being under attack. But before I can go any further about what's attacking your agreement and your contract, I want to talk to you about the heart. I want to talk to you about the heart. The heart is four things. We're not gonna make a habit out of that, but for this, for the sake of this, four. Hallelujah. The mind is purposed on our, the heart has four things that it establishes. It's the mind, your will, your consciousness, and your emotions. Your mind, your will, your emotion, and your consciousness. Yeah. It affects the mind. The mind is your thoughts and your memories. So when you're in the room and you're thinking to yourself, and you, man, why am I thinking that? Why am I having these thoughts? I shouldn't have those thoughts. It's in your heart. The reason why you're having those thoughts, because it got into your heart, right? I shouldn't be thinking those things. What's going on? I need to see somebody. Something got into your heart. It also affects your memory. So when you're able to pull something up, you remember that when you was four? You got to be careful what you do to your kids. Be careful what you say to your kids. You was 2 years old when mommy and daddy slipped down there and did. When we smoked it. You remember that? When we shot that? Because it got into their heart. They're able to pull that back up. You was only 2 years old when we did that. Right? It's your memory. Some of us are, I'm having memory loss. Some of them, like, I'm losing memory. I'm getting old. No, baby. You're not having memory loss. It's just not in your heart. Come You're not suffering from Alzheimer's disease. It's not in your heart. That's the memory. It's also your heart is also your will, right? Your will, what your volition, what you do, right? What you say and what you do.
Right.
Oh, I didn't mean to do that. Yes, you did. It was in your heart. It was in your heart. Baby, I didn't mean to call you that. Cuss you out. Yes, you did. You were saving that one because that was in your heart. Right? Because we know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's right. That's right. It's in your will. It's also in your emotion. When somebody is crying from a good movie that touched their heart.
Yes, sir.
It touched your heart. When somebody passes away that's not even related to you. You don't even know them. But somebody else teared up. Oh, it touches your heart. When Jesus wept. Right. Hallelujah. Right. Jesus knows he's going to wake him up, but it touched his heart because he saw others weeping.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. It's in your emotion, but it's also in your consciousness. Your consciousness is your ability to know the difference between right and wrong. Your wrong might be different than my wrong. Your right might be different than my right. But it's also your consciousness.
Right.
It's how we deal with our heart.
Right?
Right? Yeah. Right? So with that being said, we got to be careful about what we place in our heart.
You got to be
careful about what you place in your heart, because your heart is like the control center. It controls you. You get information from it, and this is how you act and react. This is why the Lord says, above all, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from that. From your heart. Right? And then I like it because it's amazing, because Jeremiah comes back later and he says, the heart is wicked. It's deceitful. Above all things. Who can know it? Right. In some texts it says it's beyond cure. You gotta be careful about what you put in your heart. Guard your heart. But I love it the way Paul brings it back. He brings it back. He says, but the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I love it. Come on, somebody, touch your neighbor and say, Jesus is the king therapist. Oh, he's going to guard your heart. If I touch your neighbor on the other side behind you, Jesus is the king therapist. He will guard your heart and your mind. Hallelujah. Paul is writing this letter to the Ephesian church. He's doing it all while he's in the prison. So you know this is a serious letter. I need y'all to be writing me when I'm in prison. I'm going to write y'all. Hallelujah. He's writing them, and in this particular part of the text, he's reminding them of the agreement. You all are Christians. You're not supposed to have the same behavior you did before you got saved. This is what I'm commanding you. Be mindful of what's going on around you. In Ephesus, Ephesus was no different than any major coastline city that we have today. Imagine New York, right? Full of commerce, rich culture, big time worship. It's a whole lot of different religions going on in New York. And this was going on. And Paul is reminding them, look, you got to be careful, because remember where you used to be. When you was a lying son of a gun. When you was a cheating slob. Right? When you was a murderous person with your mouth. Some of us still murdering folks with our mouth. Right?
Right?
You have a new agreement. You are a Christian.
That's right.
Don't go back to those ways that you used to live, because the ways that you used to live was based on a hardened heart.
That's right.
That's the way you. That's the reason you acted like that. Your heart moved you in those ways. Come on. A hardened heart. Come on. Don't act like y'all don't know what a hardened heart is. Come on, does anybody in here know what a hardened heart is?
Yeah.
If you married, you should definitely be in. Come on. Your heart's still hardened from the toothpaste that man left in the sink. Is that just me? Stand up. Joey ain't here. Joey on here. Joey on here defending himself. Come on. Some of you all had a hard heart walking in here today. Still mad at your man. I know y'all hands raised up. Right? Right? You may have had a hard heart from a friend betraying you. Or not meeting an expectation. You may have had a heart to heart because of a family member that may have betrayed you and not met expectations. Right? Come on. It's the letdowns that we hold people to certain status that lets us down. That spouse, you let me down. Now my heart's hardened. You let me down. That family member, that friend, right? You may even have let yourself down. And because of that letdown, your heart is hardened. Come on. But what we got to understand is the heart and the heart don't affect the person that you're mad about. Look, I'm mad at some folks right now.
Right.
If you know me, you know. But the hardened heart won't affect them. It affects your relationship with God. Your hardened heart disconnects you from God. Listen, the definition of a hardened heart is a persistent inner refusal to hear and obey the word of God. A persistent inner refusal to obey and hear the word of God. You are demonstrating unbelief in God's clear message and his word. You are demonstrating that. An unbelief to his clear message and his word. Right? We see this happening in agreements in the entire Bible. Let me remind you. Pharaoh of Egypt. Right? He sees miracle after miracle, Elder. Plague after plague. And because he ignores God's clear message and his work to his demise. He dies in it all because of a hardened heart. All because of a hardened heart. Come on. We see this show up again with the children of Israel. In the Bible shows us that there's no other people who probably encountered more miracles than the children of Israel. Come on, man. These dudes saw all the stuff go down in Egypt. These guys walk across the Red Sea. God is feeding them from the sky. You got manna and quail coming from the sky. I'm hungry. You know what I mean? It's unreal. The Bible says as they walk through the wilderness that the shoes on their feet, Elder, they didn't even wore out. They didn't, but because they ignored God's clear message and work to their demise. Because of a hardened heart. Listen, we can fast forward to when Jesus was on the earth walking in the flesh. And the Pharisees were the professionals of the law. They knew the law. Oh, they knew it. Come on, somebody. And they knew the law and they knew the prophets and knew what the prophets said about the coming of Jesus. They knew it. And Jesus is standing right there. And they couldn't even recognize him. Come on, somebody. Jesus is standing. You know the word. And he's standing right in front of you. And you can't see him. Because that's what a hardened heart does. That's what it does. It disconnects you from God. You can't even see him. His clear message. You can't even see his clear message. His work. Because of a hardened heart. I want to share something with you guys. And I hope you're mature enough to hear it. for those who have accepted me as their pastor, it's important for me to be transparent as a pastor. This woman right here is the love of my life. Amen. She, you can put your hands together. Oh, this is your first lady. My Lord. My Lord. Next time I'll say Jesus and then I'll slide your name in. Lord knows. This is my wife, and this is the Lord's purpose for me. This is what the Lord assigned to me. This is my writ. God gave me this woman. This is God's perfection for me. But so you know, in 2007, I was married before. For some of you all that know that, some of you all don't know that. And if you're ready to leave, make sure you email me first before you leave. You can be a proper going away. But I was married before in 2007 because my preference, because of my preference, I lost patience. And I settled. And it's not all my fault, Elder. It's not all my fault. Because the church had a hand in it too. I gotta blame the church a little bit. Why? Because the church kept giving me 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and 9. For it's better to marry. Y'all know y'all Bible. It's better to marry than to burn. Nobody was giving me 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, which is the chapter before that.
Come on.
Flee sexual immorality. Because he was explaining when you have sex, you sin against your body. When you fornicate, you sin against your body. Not outside, but inside. Nobody said, Jeff, just stop having sex.
Come on.
Stop shacking up. I know I'm gonna get the married folks clapping. The single parent people ain't gonna clap on that. That's all right, but we gonna keep this real. We gonna keep it real up in here. I'm gonna give you 1 Corinthians 6:18. Right? Why? Because we went into this marriage unequally yoked. Right? We put that thing together. The Bible says, what God puts together, let no man put asunder. Oh, man, I love that word. But God ain't putting all these marriages together. Some of y'all putting these marriages together. And we got... Oh, I knew I was going to get clapped on that. I got some divorced people up in here. My God. We're going to have a good time today. We're going to have a good time. You hear me? And we're in this marriage. We're in this marriage at each other's throat. Yeah. It's a mess. Yeah. It's a mess. It's a mess. And later on, there was infidelity in the marriage. And when I found out, I was devastated. But I learned a valuable lesson that the infidelity did not dissolve the marriage. It wasn't that act. It wasn't that act. It was the hardening of heart.
Yeah.
Her heart was still hard. Are you gonna be mad at me? You cheating on me? You cheating on me? You gonna be mad? It was the hardening of heart, and when I searched the scripture, I found this in the text. The Pharisees. I'm all over the place. I'll get back to my text. Just for some of the aspiring preachers and teachers, but I want to hammer home this. In the text, the Pharisees goes to Jesus, and they try to trip him up. You know how they always trying to trip Jesus up, and they say, "Jesus, can a man put away his wife for any cause?" And Jesus so gangster with that word. You feel me? Jesus say, "Haven't you read?" Like, of course they read it because they Pharisees. They know they know it. Jesus goes, "Haven't you read? God made them male and female." I just want to emphasize that. Right? So God made a male and female, and he said, this is why a man should leave his mother and father and cleave. You better touch my head. To his wife. And two shall become one flesh. Haven't you read that? I love Jesus because he don't give opinions.
Come on,
sir. He give that word, brother. He give you the word. You hear me? Jesus gives them the word, and they say, okay, we got you. Why did Moses give a certificate of divorcement? And Jesus says, hold on. Hold on. He gave you the Bible says, he suffered you a bill of divorcement because of the hardness of your heart. Because of the heart. Because he said, in the beginning, that wasn't the case. Not in the beginning, but that's what sin did. It separated your connection, your agreement with God. And because of that, your heart got hard. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Paul is breaking this thing down for them to let them know that all I'm gonna throw it at you this time. Just for you to know, sometimes I just throw it because it becomes a distraction. I hope the Lord brings it all back. If he doesn't, I'll call for you. Paul is explaining all of the stuff that comes from us. The wickedness, the sexual immorality, the lifestyle that we once lived, the drunken life, that smoked up life, that life that was out here killing your tail. Paul is reminding them that came from the hardness of heart. And the only thing that's going to help you, the only way you're going to get out of that lifestyle is one simple word. The only way you're going to stop committing the same cycle over and over and over, coming back to the altar over and over and over again, is one word. Forgive. Forgive. The reason that marriage has fallen apart is because you won't forgive. The reason that relationship that you've had for years, and they made that mistake, and guess what? That people gonna make mistakes. It's because you won't forgive. The reason why you haven't called your mammy or your daddy or your sister or your brother or your cousin or that family member, because you just won't forgive. The reason why you're still in shambles and shame and guilt is because you just won't forgive. You are a Christian. Now I'm preaching. You are a Christian. That's the agreement. That's the agreement. He forgave you so that you can forgive. He says, forgive, and my Father in heaven will forgive you. If you don't forgive, my Father in heaven won't forgive you. This is why I like what the Bible says. It says, and everybody knows this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us, and forgive us, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. That, you see that synergy? You see that agreement? You see the agreement? That's the agreement. And the hardened heart is separating you from God. Jeff, you don't understand what they did to me. You can't comprehend. They betrayed me. You can't even imagine what they did to me, Jeff. Forgive. You're a Christian. That's the agreement. What do you want me to say? It's the deal. It's the agreement. It's the deal. But no, not what they did. No, Jeff. Let's talk after service, because what they did is unforgivable. What you did is unforgivable. Imagine this. Can you imagine this? Imagine the earth is in chaos. It's in shambles. Oh, and it's all tore up. Kind of looks like the way it looks today. Viruses and all kind of crazy stuff going on, right? And our Father in heaven has compassion on the earth. And he sends his only begotten Son to the earth. Imagine with me for this one, for the sake of this. Jesus comes to the earth and he's not betrayed. No. He's not lied on. He's not beaten. He's not suffering on the cross.
Right.
Oh, suffered. Now imagine with me, he never suffered. It was cool. Because why would he suffer those things to forgive you if you won't suffer anything to forgive?
Come on.
Take a deep breath. Would he do all of that suffering, all of those stuff, when you can't suffer what you did to forgive?
Come on.
That's a dart to the heart.
Yes.
Feel that dart. Right? Because forgiveness is the dart that breaks the hardened heart. I said forgiveness is the dart that forgives the broken heart.
Right.
Forgiveness.
Yeah.
It breaks the hardened heart.
Yeah.
That's good.
Hallelujah. Yeah. I want to talk to someone. I'm done. Mm-hmm. They get over quick now. Don't they? it shouldn't take me that long. It shouldn't take me that long to drop off what the Lord told me to tell you.
That's right.
And I'll give you a couple laughs and then entertain you a little bit too. If you're somebody, because I know it's a bunch of somebodies, that, hallelujah, that you're having a tough time forgiving, I need you to take out your phone right now. Take out your phone. If you're at home, grab a notepad or just go into your notes. You know how to do all the mechanics and that thing. You can watch us and you can go into your notes. But I need you to do this, and I need you to do this now. I'm talking definitely to this church. But if you're listening online, I want to give you practical tools on how you're going to break this. Because understand this, a hardened heart is not affecting the person that you're mad at. It is affecting you and your agreement as a Christian. Stop breaking your agreements, Christians. You Christian. That's tough when you do it like that, ain't it? I know it stabs. It's a dart to the heart, ain't it? Yeah. I want you for the next 7 days, this church, because if you don't do it, then you're disobedient. Am I right, Joanne? Where Joanne at? I know Joanne gonna document it. That's my recorder right there. She got books already. I want you to write down the name every day that you have a hard heart against. And it might be a bunch of somebodies. It may be somebody in your past. Heck, it might be me on there. But you better write this down, because your hard heart don't affect me. You know, no. My heart. That's it. Write down the name that affects you, and I want you to pray over them for 7 days. After 7 days, even if I give you another assignment next week, that doesn't mean you block this assignment out. You keep this assignment. After the 7 days, and if you still haven't forgiven them, which has been commanded, or as part of the agreement, as being a Christian, as a Christ follower, then I want you to do it the second 7 days, but then I want you to start writing one word that's something that is good about them. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I want you to start having good thoughts about them instead of those evil thoughts about them. Because the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Yes. You'll become like Stephen while you're getting stoned. The Bible says, he says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How do you get there? How do you get there, Joseph? Stephen, I don't know how. Listen, this is how. This is how you get there. It's called exercising your mind in the Lord. Set first 7 days, we're doing what? Write their names down every day and pray over them. The second 7 days, we're doing what? And keep praying for them. And if it continues on, guess what you keep doing? You keep doing. Look, I got a bunch of names, honey. We're going to get home. We're going to touch and agree in the name of Jesus. At this moment, let me get that laptop. At this moment, I want to open up your hearts to give. You have been gracious to us in your giving. And we thank God because that tells us that God is constantly blessing you in your finances. Giving works. Boy, you clap. Listen. This is a small principle. If you want to be rich, give. Am I wrong, Elder? If you want to be rich, who's rich up here? Rich, 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 rich. I know some riches. Everybody in here ain't rich. Rich, rich, rich. Everybody in here ain't rich. It's a godly principle because if you give, the Bible says it shall be given back to you. Amen. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaking together. Running over. That means I got extra. That's called a prophet. This is how you become rich. Give. Especially when you give to the kingdom. You cannot outgive the master in giving. Don't leave yet because I want to pray over you. And while you're online, you can go to our website at Kingdom Life at thekingdomlife.com. You can give there, and you can also give if you're technologically sound at GiveKLC 273256. If you just grab your phone out, it's just simple. Just text to GiveKLC to 73256. If you're online right now, just put that number up. That way, somebody who sees it later can remember it. I want to pray over those funds right now with my sincere heart because my heart is in the right place. It's not hard. And I want to talk to the Lord about what you're doing. This part is very sacred to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we just thank you for all the offerings and those that are tithing today. We ask that you will accept it as a part of our worship. Regardless of what we've done in life, God, this is us making full proof of who you are. That we believe you are the God of our souls, of our salvation. And we believe that whatever you need this money for, it will be a blessing. We also are confident that you're going to constantly have our back in our giving. That you will never allow us to be broke, to be begging bread. He ain't begging for no bread. He pull it out of the sky. Hallelujah. Father, this belongs to you. Will you receive it from our hearts? It belongs to you. Do what you want to do with it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. I want to pray for you who are following us online. Real quick, I want to give the benediction for you. And then I want our church who remains. There are some things that we want to make sure that we shake up. But if you were visiting us for the first time, we thank you guys for visiting us. Please come back. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we just bless you. We ask that you continue to be a comfort over your people. Lord, if there's anybody that hears the sound of my voice that is battling with a hardened heart, Lord, would you guard our heart, open up our heart, be our master therapist so that we're able to put in our heart the things that needs to be in there. Put on this mind that was also in Christ Jesus. God, would you help us get rid of all of the stuff so that we can feel you back into it. We want a mind like you. We believe you. We glorify you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Thank you. Amen.